Blog Talk Radio.
Just like my employment experiences more than 25 years ago, you probably passed through the doors of the Human Resources Department on your way to your first, second, or third job. That department is the gateway to your dream job or the last stop on your way out. On today's show, we'll talk with Tracy Burns, Chief Executive Officer of NARA, the Northeast Human Resources Association, New England's largest HR association, to find out about the latest trends and topics in the industry. We'll also learn about important ways that employees can build stronger relationships with their HR departments as they secure bigger and better jobs. And we'll learn how NARA expanded its application of diversity and inclusion through its D&I Community Forum, Steering Committee, and last week's successful annual D&I Awards Gala. Determine your HR focus, listen to today's show, and get ready for a new action as a working professional in our ever-changing marketplace. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. We welcome you to today's show. Hello, my friends. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas, and we are glad that you've joined us today. I am here in sunny, beautiful Boston. We're still Boston strong. We are certainly resilient, and as I had mentioned in last week's show, we are definitely moving forward despite what happened 2 weeks ago. I had the opportunity to go downtown. I'm actually out in the city today and had the opportunity to go downtown, and I know that the Emerson College students are moving out of their dorms, and I saw several Boston Strong T-shirts. So that is probably the hottest T-shirt to have now, whether you are in Boston or whether you live 5,000 miles away. I hope that you'll get a hold of one of those great Boston Strong T-shirts to really show your support. I'm also in the coming weeks going to give tidbits and give information about our wonderful Caribbean cruise that we had 2 weeks ago. Fabulous. I'm just processing the information, the knowledge, the history, those who went on board, the beautiful islands, and definitely that beautiful ship. So we will give you more information about that. I'm probably going to have another cultural cruise similar to this one in 2 years, sometime around May of 2015, that is. So we'll keep you up to date and give you more information as time progresses. Next year, I'm planning on joining another group that's going to India, a land trip to India in May, and we'll give you more updated information about that trip as time goes on. I am emphasizing travel with the Multicultural Symposium Series, the best way to really learn about diversity, inclusion, and multiculturalism by travel. So we'll keep you posted with that. Very excited about the continued progress with my book signings and my two new books, 21 Ways to Bring Multiculturalism to Your Job, Your Home, and Your Community, and Real Women, Real Issues, Positive Collaboration for Business Success. Thank you so much to my friends over at Milton High School. I had my first school book signing, and one hopefully of many, where I can get my books into the hands of our educators across the country. They were very gracious and kind. My children went to that school system, and my daughter is now a teacher's assistant in the school system, so I've been connected for many years, and they are great believers of diversity and inclusion. So again, hats off to the Milton Public School and their high school that hosted my book signing yesterday. Well, I want to go and just move forward and bring on a delightful, delightful guest. I have known her for the last couple of years, and she's always so gracious and pleasant, and I think just such a great ambassador and representative of the human resources industry. If you work for a large or small company, at some point, you're going to be impacted by HR. If you work for a small company and it grows, they will have to probably add on some kind of human resource department, and those professionals are extremely important in the ongoing activities of any large or small organization. So we're going to bring on the Chief Executive Officer of the Northeast Human Resources Association, an organization that is going on probably close to almost 30 years old at this point. They have evolved and grown, 2,500 members strong, and leading the pack is Tracy Burns. Hello, Tracy. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Carol. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad to have you on board. Now, I'm sure that you and your staff and your HR colleagues have been processing what happened 2 weeks ago. Is there a particular HR angle that goes hand in hand with the healing and recovery process from the marathon bombings?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, we've had in the immediate days following the tragedy at the marathon, we had quite a flood of activity and emails from our members, mostly reaching out to each other, reaching out to us, but then also reaching out to each other to figure out, you know, what was everyone doing. Obviously,
right.
Unprecedented times for us here in Boston, and you know, there was a sort of a variety of things, from very tactical questions about, you know, how do we pay people, to what are you doing with EAP services and crisis management, and clear to what can we do as an HR community, as a larger employer population in downtown Boston. And one of my favorite stories is an organization in downtown Boston in the financial services industry actually pooled together and bought lunch for the Back Bay Police Department. And
oh,
I thought that was great. It wasn't the organization,
yeah.
It wasn't the company that did it. It was funded by the employees. And you know,
the
there's
employees.
Multiple stories like that out there. And I think that that's a leadership role that HR played. HR coordinated that, led it, you know, executed on it. So there was a really impactful role. And then I think the other piece that has impacted NARA sort of behind the scenes is that, you know, EAP services are great for employees. HR professionals are employees too. And so we were able to pull something together last week on Wednesday for our members that was an opportunity for HR professionals to sit and talk about what had happened and from, you know, sort of the impact on them personally, because a lot of times we're
right.
the ones that are out there helping coordinate and do all that, and you know, it gave them an opportunity to sort of sit and reflect on how it was impacting them. So so definitely great to see people pull together under these circumstances.
Probably the beginning, too. I mean, this is uncharted water. I've been in the city for 30 years. We've never had anything like this. We see it all on television. We become numb to it, but clearly it's hit us now. So I'm sure there's probably going to be an evolving role, in a leadership role, for all the HR professionals who are NARA members and those beyond that point, too. And probably the sensitivity that you're going to have as the CEO in guiding and offering resources, information to our members, are going to be very important.
Sure, and that's a big piece of what we do as an association. As you know, the role of an association has evolved quite a bit over the last, you know, 25, 30 years, and one of the things that we take pride in is sort of being that central place where people can go, and we don't always have all of the answers or all of the information, but we can certainly find it with
right.
you know, the volume of not only just members, but the larger employment community. We can usually get our hands on information fairly quickly, and especially when it's needed quickly, like in a crisis like this, people are really wanting like to understand and know what was going on out there. So,
sure.
So to the extent that we could help was, you know, made us feel good about that.
Well, hats off to you for that, and I'm sure it will continue to strengthen the relationship that NARA has with its members and providing the kind of guidance that it's going to need going forward. If I were, I'm going to sort of put on my employee hat now, why does an employee need to build a strong relationship with whoever or whomever is a part of the HR department within their company? Tracy Burns.
You know, there's a couple of reasons for that. One is that we're really nice, and I say that not as a, you know, we're the you know the soft and fuzzy part of the organization. That's not what I mean. I mean, quite often, and I felt this in my 20 years of corporate HR, is, you know, we can be perceived sometimes as the scary place. You know, you mentioned in your opening, you're the place that you stop by on your way into the organization and the place that you stop by on your way out of the organization. And I think if that continues to be the case, that's really sad, because the HR department can be an incredible resource and to understand and know not what they do necessarily from a tactical standpoint, you know, the benefits and the payroll and those things that are really important, but more so to get career advice, to understand what may be going on in other, what opportunities may be in other departments, to get clarification around what's the big picture of the organization, what's the mission and vision, and to really, you know, outside of orientation, which is when, you know, you really get a lot of information. Outside of that, the HR department is a great place to go for questions that don't necessarily need to be elevated and or a crisis. I think that sometimes managers and employees alike will come when there's a problem, and what and sometimes it's too late, you know, because the problem is festered a little bit, but really when they already have a relationship, you know, when they already know Tracy, they can come when it's not a crisis, and they can come and say, you know, this is what's happening, this is a pattern, or this is what's on my mind, or this is how I'm perceiving a situation, and we can be an incredible resource. And we're certainly, again, you know, don't have all the answers, but typically, you know, really good HR people are really good listeners and can help guide.
How is it, I've been in consulting and training for 26 years, and in 26 years, over and over and over and over and over again, I hear the challenges and opportunities related to communication and either the importance of it, the connection of it, or the lack thereof. How can HR play a role with an up-and-coming, rising star employee or someone who's really trying to get back on track to enhance or improve the communications that he or she has with staff members, with their manager, their boss, and with fellow colleagues?
Well, I think your observation is absolutely correct. If I look back, you know, on the most sort of strenuous issues that I ever dealt with, a lot of it just boiled down to communication. And I think there are a couple of things. I think one is a skill. So HR can help identify a skill gap around communication, whatever that may be, and help provide guidance towards training or certain activities that might enhance that skill. So there's a, sort of the skill-based piece of it that is more self-reflective. And then there's the external piece, which is, okay, I understand my own communication opportunities. How do you help someone understand and identify others? So, you know, Myers-Briggs testing, you know, a lot of the personality tests or communication, the DISC and things that I'm sure that you've used, help at least build some awareness. So I understand my style and my preference, and then if I understand someone else's style and preference, they could start to bridge that gap. So I think that that's a big piece, the skill piece. I also firmly believe that a lot of it's courage. And the courage to have a difficult conversation.
That's an important word. Wow.
I think it's, you know, sometimes someone has the skill to do something, but not the will, right? I think having the courage to have a difficult conversation and give honest feedback in a very respectful way is really important. And I've seen that across the board. I've seen it, you know, fall apart at the CEO level, and I've seen it fall apart everywhere in between. So I think I would say that's the second piece, and that's another area where I think that HR can play a key role, is to you know, role play with someone who's getting ready to have a difficult conversation, to help them overcome what some objections might be if they're going into a situation where they know that, you know, they're going to get a lot of pushback and so forth. So, you know, communication, we've been communicating for centuries, right? In a lot of different ways, and technology is greatly impacting that, as you well know. But it is at the core. I really think it's at the core of what happens, right?
That's why I like you, Tracy. I mean, that takes guts to even say that. So often, people are so busy trying to cover their tracks nowadays and be safe and be comfortable and be politically correct. This whole courage piece is just missing in action in many dialogues and relationships and conversations. So I want to do a show with you the next time on courage. Definitely like that. Definitely. Very
wonderful.
Much so. Definitely. Technology. You mentioned technology. How you've been around a while. You were a leader in corporate America for 20 plus years. Now you do much with just a handful of very skilled staff members who are part of the Northeast Human Resources Association, really servicing 2,500 plus people. How has technology impacted the role of the HR professional, and what do you see in terms of its limitations or its possibilities?
Well, I've seen quite a bit change since I started in HR, and I think that it, in a lot of really great ways. I think it's made our businesses more efficient, and we were able to focus on things that are maybe a little bit more creative and exciting, and not as much on other parts that we're not creating much value, but were necessary. So I think by and large, the impact of technology has been fantastic, and I think the downside is, I think we hear quite a bit in the media, is that when people rely too much on technology, then you sort of miss the human piece. And I think that started to evolve from an HR standpoint, or it started to show up rather from an HR standpoint in email. And so, I probably could spend an hour telling you about email faux pas in the corporate world, but where everything from oops, I accidentally CC'd, a lot of people I hit reply all when I didn't mean to, to the tone of an email and whether or not, it's taken in the context of which it was meant to be delivered or not. And I think that still continues to exist. I mean, we all, we've been using that communication medium for quite some time, but we still have our moments.
I've sort of forgiven my brother, who's an attorney in Detroit, love him to pieces. He's sort of a late bloomer in terms of technology, and because he doesn't type that well, everything is in caps. Everything.
Stop yelling at me!
I said, Wilson, stop. But I love him to pieces, but everything, so we all know when we get emails from Wilson, everything is going to be in caps.
That's great. Yeah, well, some of us have evolved a little bit. It takes other people quite some time. So, yeah, and you're right. And I think, the more time goes on, we start to forgive both ourselves and others for things. Then you overlay social media on top of that, and it's a whole, it makes email look like, the dinosaur. And and for us at NARA in particular, I think there's definitely an HR impact, but for us in particular, it's been great because it allows us to reach out in multiple ways on social media we believe is more impactful than just email. So, because of the sophistication of being able to link articles and photos and videos and all of this kind of more dynamic way to communicate with people a very inexpensive way. It's not the glossy marketing collateral that we used to have to invest in. It allows us to do that. And there's six of us here, and we're all relatively savvy. And so we can sort of multiply our messages out that way on a regular basis, so it's great.
That's incredible. That says an awful lot. And, we're talking about people. We're talking about people within the organization and who then represent and serve thousands of people within their respective companies and organizations, and that has everything to do with diversity and inclusion and multiculturalism. Tell us how that has evolved within the role of the HR professional and how it relates to the members of NARA.
Sure. Well, I think that like most things that are related to an organizational culture, diversity has sort of found its home inside of HR. And I think that there's good and bad to that, right? Like anything else, I think that it's diversity should be an organization-wide, sort of like Nancy Steger said last week, all in. It's not an HR initiative, but it quite often lives. In the HR function, and so and to a certain extent has been there and going on for quite some time. But what I've witnessed is that it's moved out of just HR and has started to become a more real and important topic throughout the entire organization. And so, from my perspective, it's a great opportunity for HR to influence a culture and influence business decisions in a way that are positive, and that it's evolved from just diversity training, which is important, and raising awareness, and sort of nibbling around the edges, as we heard last week, to like we need to get this done and we need to be honest about it and we need to talk about it. And stop raising awareness and having education, but really like live and breathe it. So that's exciting. That's great. From a member perspective, from a NARA member perspective, we've had, as you know, the diversity and inclusion community forum for quite some time. And it evolved from 20, 25 people to well over 100, and then we recently in the last year or so sort of pushed to have a higher level strategic steering committee that would look at our focus on diversity and inclusion more holistically, and that is headed by Ed Hurley Wales at ADP and Joe Andrews at Progress Software, and they've done a phenomenal job of not only leading that effort, they also walk the talk.
Right, and they're board members of NARA as well.
They're both board members, longtime board members of NARA, and it's been great to have their sort of leadership and commitment around some of the strategic initiatives and what I really around the philosophical sort of modification that we've made that is broaden the definition of diversity from to include it and inclusion is sort of been added on there for a while now,
right.
But for
the
us
terminology
really,
definitely has changed and evolved
exactly.
Inclusion is now a part of the conversation definitely
and in doing that focusing on those with disabilities and veteran status and sexual orientation and, religion and gender and all, age and all of those different things. And I think we were doing that to a certain extent before, but we really pushed in these last 2 years to partner with organizations that are working in that space. We don't want to duplicate efforts, but what we want to do is be the convener and the leader and the role model for HR professionals to have NARA be a place where people can come and have these conversations and learn and grow and then go back out into their organizations and really make a difference.
Well, I look at it really as a moving target. I've been in business 26 years, and my point of contact over and over again tend to be HR professionals. So that's why this is an important space for me to be in. But it's also important to recognize that this is it's ever-changing, ever-evolving, and certainly the global impact of it is extremely important, where we're way beyond the conversations that we had 20 years ago. They are important, but added topics, added categories, but just the introduction of these collaborative efforts looking at different types of people of all cultures, of all walks of life. To me, that's the exciting part of diversity, inclusion, and the word that I love to use is multiculturalism. Right.
Yep.
I want to really thank NARA for this wonderful article that I had the honor of writing in Insights Magazine that talks about how HR professionals can understand and get to know their respective neighborhoods so that as they get to know the different climates, tastes, sights and sounds of their respective neighborhoods, they can bring that knowledge back to their organizations and be more effective as they build relationships, particularly with professionals of color. Also enjoyed the dinner last week and was very honored to be one of the 6 nominees for the Frank McCarthy Diversity Champion Award. So
yes,
thank you
congratulations
so much, Tracy.
On that. That's, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. That
congratulations.
Was quite an honor. I appreciate just being, you know, in of the 6, that was also quite an honor. Well, where do you see NARA going forward? Where do you see the role of the HR professional, let's say, in the next 5 or 10 years as we wrap up our interview?
Yeah, I am very excited. I mean, I was excited when I took this job 2.5 years ago, and I think I'm even more excited now. I think, you know, going back to my HR is nice, you know, we're nice comment. You know, really, it's a profession that has evolved and continues to evolve. And I do want the HR professionals to and the department itself to be a place where people can come, and not just when they have a problem, but where business leaders, you know, in the organization can come for advice and consultation at a very tactical and a strategic level. And so how that sort of dovetails into where the direction we're taking NARA is that I think that the skill set that is needed for today's HR professional and into the future 5 or 10 years is very different than what it has been, what it was when I started 20 years ago. You know, there's a certain body of knowledge that is really important, but there are a lot of softer skills that are in more analytical skills and that are needed. And so as we look forward for what NARA will be offering, and we're just getting ready to launch a leadership-level HR program, we're looking at competencies that are – we're doing some financial analysis and sort of analytical reporting. We're doing strategic thinking. We're doing a whole session on self-awareness. And so it is sort of an evolved sort of profession, if you will, and we're trying to stay a little bit out ahead of that so that we're bringing the HR professionals, you know, of the future along with us. So it's very exciting.
Well, I think they have the right person in the right role, with you being the chief executive officer, head of the Northeast Human Resources Association, NARA. If you'd like more information about NARA, please go to www.nehra.com. That's NEHRA.com. There's a wealth of information. NARA is an affiliate of the Society of Human Resource Professionals. Did I get that right, Tracy?
Yep, sure. The Society for HR Management.
Sure.
Absolutely.
That's right. I'm a member of both. So, again, if you're in this space, whether you are a supplier, whether you're certainly an HR professional, NARA is definitely the organization to be a part of. Tracy Burns, thank you so much for being a guest on my program today, and much luck to you and the other 5 warrior staff members of NARA who are doing great things with all of us members. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carol.
All right, take care. We've been talking to Tracy Burns, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the Northeast Human Resources Association. Delightful person, and she is as delightful on the phone as she is in person. We congratulate her and her staff members who are doing a wonderful job in taking the organization forward. Again, I've been in this space for 26 years, and HR is very important to me as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, as a diversity professional, as someone who is interested in people. HR is the place to be. I'm also excited because I now know younger adults who I've known for many years who are in HR, and I think it just sort of tells the importance and the future of this industry. So check out NARA, check out their publications, and just see how the important role that they play, whether it's the current events, as we talked about with the Boston bombing, or with diversity and inclusion, or whether it's with technology and trying to prepare those who are moving forward. HR is still going to be critical, a very critical link with all of those who are working or whether they are entrepreneurs or small business owners, there is some kind of HR function and role to play, whether you are a very small or a very large organization. Thanks so much for listening today. We encourage you to go out there and just have a great day. Check out my website at www.tellcarol.com, and we'll just look forward to having you join us next week. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Have a great week or weekend.